Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we want to introduce our lesson by reading verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Years ago, when I was in school, I was taught to pay careful attention to words that are used in the Bible. And some words we might be just tempted to overlook, but they're very important. Notice how this verse begins. It begins with the word wherefore. That's important. It shows that what is about to be said is a concluding statement based on what has just been said. So Peter's making a concluding statement. So to appreciate what he wrote in this verse, we need to be mindful of what he has just said. This chapter deals with a very important subject. It deals with the Lord's return. There's a reason why Peter wrote about that particular matter. He said that at a later time, there would be some scoffers who would question whether the Lord is actually going to return. Peter was preparing Christians for that, so that they would be prepared. He went on to reveal that no one knows when the Lord will return. He compared the Lord's return to a thief in the night. In other words, it will be unexpected. There won't be any signs leading up to the Lord's return. But we can rest assured that the Lord will return. He said so in John chapter 14. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He was speaking to the apostles. So there's no doubt about whether the Lord will return. He is going to return, but we don't know when. During his ministry, Jesus said that no man knows. He said no angel knows. And according to the Gospel of Mark, he said he didn't know. But we learn from Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, that God has appointed a day when his Son will return. Although we do not know when Jesus will return, Peter tells us in this chapter that when he does come back, everything will be destroyed. Everything will be burned up. That being the case, Peter said it should motivate us to live godly lives. He mentions godliness so that we can be prepared for the Lord's return whenever it takes place. And he said that we look forward to new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This present earth and the heavens will be burned up when the Lord returns. He said, we look for new heavens and a new earth, that is a new dwelling place. And in this new dwelling place, he said, righteousness dwells there. I don't know about you, but every day I watch the news, I think, Lord, I'm looking forward to that place where righteousness dwells. There won't be any unrighteousness. Now, Peter says, because we look for these things in our verse 14, the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, Peter gives us an admonition. And that admonition is, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. In other words, he's teaching us to do our very best to be prepared for the Lord's return. He used the expression, be diligent. And we're especially interested in that very short admonition to be diligent. And in our lesson, we want to consider three important activities that require us to be diligent. Now, Peter says in this verse, 2 Peter 3 and verse 14, to be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. In other words, we're to give careful attention to these matters and do our very best to fulfill our responsibilities so that we can be prepared for the Lord's return. But there are others, but we want to consider three very important activities that mention diligence on our part. In other words, these are matters of utmost importance. Let's begin with the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Solomon was the inspired writer. And as we consider what's written in this verse, the point that we want to make is, let us be diligent in keeping our hearts. Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. To keep the heart means to guard and protect the heart. Now, exactly what is the heart under consideration? It's that inner part of our being. It's the center of our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions. Peter says that we're to keep, we're to guard, we're to protect that part of us with all diligence. Now, why is it so important for us to do that? Well, Solomon explains it to us. He said, out of it, that is out of the heart, are the issues of life. If we take care of the heart, the issues of life will take care of themselves. Now, this is what Jesus taught during his ministry. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and read verse 35. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The things we do and the things we say actually come forth from the heart. Now, we're concerned about being in good standing with the Lord when he returns. It's important for us to do and say things that are in harmony with his will. The key to doing that is keeping the heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Keeping the heart is something that we're to do with diligence. In other words, it's a matter of utmost importance. Well, how do we keep the heart? We understand how important it is that we do it. Solomon says we're to do it with all diligence. He and Jesus both taught that our heart is going to determine what we do and what we say. But to keep the heart, it's imperative that we think properly. Solomon, the wise man, also dealt with that principle in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. He said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's important that we think properly. Well, let's consider some things that we need to think about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, it requires discipline to think properly. It requires discipline in that if we're not thinking properly, we need to be aware of it so that we can make the necessary change. Well, here are some good things to think about. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, that's a good list of things for us to think about. These are matters that we need to meditate upon. These are matters that we need to dwell on. They're to be the centers of the matters that we think about. That's going to have an effect on us. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why is it so important for the heart to be right before God? Because the heart is going to determine what we do and what we say. Now, we're familiar with that principle when it comes to the condition of our physical hearts. Just last week, Teresa had her annual appointment with her cardiologist to have things checked out. Well, many of us go through similar appointments. It's important for us to be aware of what's going on with the physical heart. How much more important is it that we have our spiritual hearts examined on a regular basis? Not once a year, but more often than that. Let's look at Psalm 139 and read verses 23 and 24. And this was written by David. Earlier in this very beautiful psalm, he showed just how well God knew him, and he showed that there was no place he could go to escape the presence of God. That being the case, David wanted his life to be right with God, so he made this request. I believe this is a great request for us all to adopt. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, David touched on a wealth of information in those two verses. First, he's making a plea to God. God knows our hearts. We need to have him do an inspection. And he made that request, know my heart. And notice that he asked God to try his thoughts. I think David understood that his thoughts would determine the condition of his heart. And then he went on to say, see if there be any wicked way in me. David understood that his thinking would affect his heart. His heart would affect what he did. And of course, he was concerned about being in good standing with the Lord. He said, lead me in the way everlasting. That's a beautiful request. We would do well to adopt it. So as we think about being diligent, we need to be diligent in keeping our hearts. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6 and notice another activity that requires diligence. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6. This, of course, is from the Great Faith chapter of the Bible. And the writer says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've already shown how important it is that we be diligent in keeping our hearts. According to this verse, we must be diligent in seeking God. Now, we often use this verse to show how important faith is, and that's one of the main things being taught in this particular passage. You can't please God without faith. But we understand how important it is that we believe in God. Believing in God is essential, and it's highly commendable. However, only believing in God will not save anyone. Notice how that's dealt with in James chapter 2 and verse 19. The Lord's brother says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. We understand that it's essential to believe in God in order to be in good standing with him. But just believing in God by itself will not save anyone. You see, in addition to believing in God, he wants us to diligently seek him and his will. Faith that pleases God is obedient. James 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. The kind of faith that pleases God, that he wants us to have, is obedient faith. Just simply believing that God exists, it's important, it's essential. However, Just simply believing in God will not save anyone. We must diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, in connection with this matter of seeking God, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and read verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, and this was written by the Apostle Paul to the evangelist Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the word study in this passage does not have the same meaning that we often associate with it. I remember as a kid in Sunday school, we were taught to memorize this passage and to show how it teaches how important it is to study the Bible on a regular basis. Well, the word study, as it is used in this verse, it's an old English word. It means to give diligence. Now, we're talking about being diligent. Seeking God involves diligence. We're to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God. Now, that involves rightly dividing the word of truth. But study, as it is used in this particular passage, means to give diligence. God wants us to give diligence in showing ourselves approved unto Him. We do that by seeking Him and His will. So Hebrews 11 and verse 6 teaches us to be diligent in seeking God and complying with His will. Let's consider another admonition in the Bible that involved diligence. Let's turn to the book of 2 Peter. We begin by reading chapter 3 and verse 14. Now we want to read a few verses from the first chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We want to begin at verse 5. And the point we want to make from these verses we're about to read is that we need to be diligent in making our calling and election sure. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Now that's the foundation upon which we're to build. Giving all diligence. In other words, these are matters of utmost importance. They deserve our careful attention. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, or love. For if these things, those graces that we just read, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These verses teach us to be diligent in making our calling and election sure. I'm sure you know this as well as I do, but there are many people who believe and teach that a child of God cannot fall away. Well, let's let Peter answer that for us once and for all. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and read verses 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, talking about someone who's obeyed the gospel, he's been forgiven of his sins, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now Peter takes care once and for all this idea that it's not possible for a child of God to fall away. Peter says that the spiritual condition of such a one is worse than he had never believed in the first place. That's very serious, isn't it? So Peter explains to us in chapter 2 that it is possible for a child of God to fall away. But he's already shown in chapter 1 how we can overcome that. He says, be diligent in making your calling and election sure. He teaches us to give all diligence to develop these graces. There are several of them. They're very important. And he teaches us to continually grow in them. Now, what about one who chooses not to grow in these graces? Well, verse 9 deals with that situation. He that lacketh these things, and these things, that's referring to those graces, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. But if we will give all diligence in developing those graces, the Lord will bless us in return. Verse 8, he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm especially concerned about what's revealed in verses 10 and 11. If we will give diligence to develop these graces and continually grow in them, Peter said, ye shall never fall. That's what I like to call blessed assurance. Yes, it's possible for a child of God to fall away, but there is something we can do to overcome that. If we will do what Peter teaches us to do, that is to give diligence to develop these graces and continually grow in them, he said, you will never fall. So these are three very important activities given to us in the Bible that require diligence on our part. Now, I don't mean to imply in any way that we're able to save ourselves, because God is the one who saves us. He saves us when we comply with his will. He's given instructions to us, and it's imperative that we follow them. But these are three very important activities that will affect our eternal destiny. There are many others in the Bible that involve diligence, but these are three very important matters. We need to be mindful of these things as we go through this year. I don't know when the Lord is coming back. I know one thing. Every day I think I look more forward to that particular day than I did the day before. Teresa and I were talking about something not long ago. I think it was in connection with the fact that as her mother's only child, she's been having to take care of all of her mother's responsibilities, and that's been a big challenge. But you see, we don't have any children. So we were thinking, what will we do if we get to that point? One thing I said was, I hope the Lord comes back before then. And I'm not being sarcastic, but I believe we need to think about the Lord's return. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I do know this, that will be the greatest day of all. The things that bother us in this life will no longer exist. Eternity in heaven will begin. What we need to do is examine how diligent we are in these three areas. Am I being diligent in keeping my heart? Am I being diligent in seeking God and his will? Am I being diligent and making my calling and election sure? Those are some matters that deserve our careful attention. And if we see that maybe we're not putting forth the diligence that the Lord wants, we can correct that. He'll help us, and He'll bless us in return. You see, as people seeing us give diligence to these matters, perhaps it would encourage them to do the same thing. This morning, Teresa and I were watching In Search of the Lord's Way, and one particular song was being sung by the congregation there in Oklahoma. God is Love. That's a grand old song. As the camera was scanning the audience, I saw a little boy, and he was singing his heart out. I thought, boy, that just gave me a boost. A little while later, another song was being sung. And as the camera was scanning the audience, there was an older couple singing their hearts out. I thought, you know, this is something that relates to all of us, whether young or old. It gives us hope. It gives us direction. Keeps us occupied, too. If we're concerned about these matters of spiritual importance, we won't get bogged down with all the nonsense that goes on in this life. Satan would like to use all the nonsense that goes on to try to pull us down, to discourage us. Well, we can fight back. We can give all diligence to participate in these activities. The Lord will bless us in return.